And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. But I do have a topic, and that's just there for the sake of the tapes that are going out, because they always put a name on the tape. And the topic is this: don't waste your pain. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I'm going to read these verses to you. You can follow them in whatever Bible version you have, beginning with the third verse, 2 Corinthians 1:3. First chapter, third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Put a line under comfort if you underline in your Bible, if your Bible's not so sacred that you can't write in it. Underline comfort. Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And I have put a circle around all. I need to be reminded of that. Who comforts us in all of our troubles, not just some of them, not just the big ones, not just the little ones, but all of our troubles, so that, it ought to be italicized for emphasis, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, what he is saying is there is purpose in pain. There is purpose in being uncomfortable. You don't need comfort unless you are uncomfortable. But if you are uncomfortable, there is purpose in that. God never allows anything to come into your life as a believer that does not first pass through the hands of a loving God. Now, you can say amen to that, but you better believe it if you say amen, because there are a lot of things that come into our lives that we're not so sure have passed through God's hands. There are a lot of things that come into our lives that we're not sure God knows anything about, and so we go knocking on his door to say, Lord, do you know that this has come into my life? And then we expect him to say, well, no, I didn't know that, and I really appreciate you reminding me about that. It happened while I was asleep last night. God knows about all of our troubles, about all of our situations. And the reason for that, the purpose for that, the purpose for our uncomfortableness, the purpose for our misery, the purpose for our pain is so that we can comfort others the same way he is comforting us. Read on. Verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, the suffering flows over into our life. Wait just a minute. Let's back up. That should not be in the Bible. We're talking about comfort, and suddenly he stops and he says, well, you need to know that not only does God comfort you, but suffering flows over from Jesus into your life. In fact, Paul, writing to the Philippians, says that there is a fellowship of sufferings. Philippians had their own overcomers group of people who suffered, their own folks who were in pain. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If I am in pain, it is so you can be benefited by it. If I am distressed, it is for your comfort. If you are distressed, it is for somebody else's comfort. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. What produces patient endurance? Comfort, which is preceded by suffering. That's the procedure. If you want to get out of the Christian life, now's the time to get out of it. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way God has ordained it. But there is purpose in it. And if you will walk through the purpose, there is glory on the other end. We're coming into a week that should be the saddest week in all of history. The week they put the Son of God to death. It's interesting that we celebrate that day on which that happened by calling it Good Friday. Good Friday. Why do we call it Good Friday? Because we're looking back on it. And we know what happened following the crucifixion. A resurrection took place. And so we could call our pain good pain, and our uncomfortableness good uncomfortableness, and our misery good misery. Hallelujah! Thank you for the misery, because it produces comfort, which produces patient endurance. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. I told you 2 weeks ago that I had I had gone back to my local doctor here. I had begun to experience some pain in my back and a little bit in my hip, and my wife had caught hold of the internal medicine doctor in the hospital one day. We were up there visiting someone, and stopped him in the hall, and he said, get into the office right away. He said, sometimes the renal cell carcinoma, the cancer of the kidney that you had, will metastasize into the bone, and we're going to check you out. So he took me in and ran me through x-rays, and then ran me through a bone scan, and then finally through a CAT scan, and all that was clear. No cancer. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the pain has increased. In fact, it not just stayed there, it's gotten worse. And so I asked my doctor, I said, you know, I really praise God, and he's a spirit-filled doctor, and I said, I really praise God that the cancer is gone. But what do I do about the pain? And he said, go to a pain doctor. So I got worse. Got so worse that I finally went to a pain doctor. And I have made fun of people who have gone to chiropractors all my life. Never been to a chiropractor. And I finally decided, opened the phone book to chiropractors. There's 40 pages of chiropractors. We've got some chiropractors in this church. We've got chiropractors who, half the people in this church have gotten involved one time or another with a chiropractor, and when word got out that I might be looking for one, why, names came pouring in, recommendations from all over. As far away as Daytona, all the way to West Palm Beach, man called me on the phone, said the best chiropractor in the world lives in Prescott, Arizona. if you can just get out there, why? So I just prayed, and I went to a chiropractor. And I told him, I've got this pain, and he says, I can take care of you, and I'll make the pain go away. Well, he hadn't made the pain go away. He made it get worse. It's gotten worse, and so he said, well, if you come back for 30 sessions, why, it'll surely get better. So I have said, okay, I'm committed into this. I mean, it bends and twists and jerks and pulls and snaps and does all other kinds of things. They took x-rays of my insides and said he would have used sonar or whatever they use on the insides, but he said, you're filled with staples. I didn't know that until I looked at the x-rays. I've got lots of metal staples holding me together on the inside following me. So he can't do the deep heat kind of thing, because that would... Anyway, he can't do that. So anyway, I've got to walk through this, and you know, I don't know if it's getting better or worse. And but anyway, in the process of this, he has shifted the pain. It's no longer in my lower back. Now it's excruciating down my left leg. And he said, if I keep working on you, it'll probably just go on out your heel after a while. And disappear. Well, I've struggled with all this, and I thank God for Randy Wisdom, who plays a mean trumpet in the band. And Randy got me some pills, some pain pills, and if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't have been here 2 weeks ago. I mean, and I have to keep moving, because if I stop at any one particular point, the whole thing kind of sets in on me, despite those wonderful little blue pills that Dr. Wisdom gave me to keep going. And I finally determined that it was better if I took my shoes off, so I'm preaching in my socks this morning, because which is seemed to be scriptural anyway, you know, that if this is holy ground, why you're supposed to... But standing with my heels, and anyway, the whole thing about this is I've suddenly related to people who hurt, and I have never done that before. I've been wonderfully healthy all my life, and I've never had a relationship with people who hurt. My mother-in-law, 83 years old, Jackie's mother, who lives with us, has Parkinson's disease, and so she doesn't move very well, and she has a terrible time getting comfortable, and she has to twist and turn in the bed. And I've, last year, Jackie went out and bought me this wonderful easy chair for my birthday, this big recliner kind of chair that's got a handle on the side that you can adjust it. Well, my mother-in-law has taken over my chair. And so she has all these pillows in it, and she has them all in different positions, and I don't get to sit in my chair anymore. My 83-year-old mother-in-law sits in the chair, and so I had to work my way through that at the same time. And I walk into the den, and there she is sitting in my chair, and I say, how do you feel? And she said, I hurt. Well, I had always just kind of, just an old lady kind of thing, you know. Well, over the last several weeks, I know how she feels. She hurts. And every time she moves, why, it hurts me. And I said, yeah, I understand that. I know what that's like. And I begin to realize there's a basic principle that's involved here. That if you haven't walked that path, you don't know what it's like. And then I begin to realize there's a whole bunch of people who hurt. And I've never paid any attention to them before, because I've been strong and healthy. And I've always just said to them, don't hurt anymore. Just stop. Stop that hurting. Well, people don't just stop hurting. It's just like saying, don't be poor anymore. Stop worrying. Get a job. Here's a guy who's gone out and he's applied for 9 jobs yesterday. And or she's applied for 30 jobs over the last month. And you say, well, all you have to do is go to work. Well, we got a lot of people here who are out of work, and they're trying. They're really trying hard. We got a lot of folks who are in pain, and they're hurting, and they're doing the best they can. We got folks here who've got broken hearts, and I can say to them, just stop that crying. God's in control. Everything's all right. But that doesn't take care of the broken heart. And suddenly, I begin to realize that until you've suffered, you really can't experience comfort. That it's not there unless you have... You know, if you haven't experienced rejection, you don't know what it's like to feel rejected. If you haven't been thrown out of some place where you expected to be loved, you don't know what it's like to have your parents turn their back on you. Or to have your wife or husband turn around and walk away from you and say, I don't love you anymore. After you've committed your life to that individual. To have a child walk out on you and say, I hate you. That's the deepest of all kinds of rejection. To be fired from a job is rejection. To be turned down when you apply for a job is rejection. And unless you have walk that way, you don't understand how others feel. Charlie Brown, talking to his friend Linus, said, I got a rejection letter from my publisher. And Linus says, everybody gets rejection letters from their publisher when they send in manuscripts. And Charlie said, I didn't send in a manuscript. It just comes whether you ask for it or not. There. They don't like you. They don't like what you've produced. They reject you. And unless you have walked that way, you don't really understand how that hurts. What that does on the inside. Financial hardships, bad health. You just don't get over it all of a sudden. What we need is someone who can understand. I was talking to one of our elders this last week who said he had had a conversation with somebody in our body here who's received bad news medically. Really bad news. Who's hurting. Who's in pain. And the fellow's response to this elder was, nobody seems to know what to do with me. Nobody knows how to handle me. They want to be nice to me, but they don't seem to understand what it's like to be told by the doctor, you're going to hurt and then you're going to die. And that's all medical science has to offer to you. Unless you've walked that way before. And all he needs is what I needed back last summer. I just need somebody who's been there. Somebody who can say, Michael Thompson came out to the house a couple of days before I went into surgery. Michael's had his guts cut out, literally. Had them cut out. He's got a lot of Michael's not there anymore. And here Michael came out of the house. Michael's young enough to be my son. And sat me down at the dinner table and said, I want to tell you what it's like to go in and to come out of surgery. This is what you can expect. And it was really meaningful to me. What it's like to come out of major surgery, because he had been there. And so he spoke into my life, and all he really did was just put an arm around my shoulder and said, I'm going to walk with you. That's all. He didn't ease my pain. He didn't make my cancer go away. He just walked with me. Now, God had other things going at the same time, for which I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful for the people who are ministering to me in the midst of this. I talked a little bit about this in the first service. I must have had 30 people come up with recommendations on what to do. And that's fine. I mean, maybe one of those is the right thing. Doctors got me in a brace around my lower back right now. So I don't bend very well. It's to try to hold me together. He says there's parts of me that are, the muscles are weak and the tendons are weak and they have a tendency, probably because of the surgery, just to kind of flop around in there. So he's got me all tied up. That and the staples and the fact that I can't wear my shoes. But that's okay. As long as somebody understands, that's all. See? And that's what we need from you. I have a feeling that 50% of you, maybe 80% of you, know what chronic pain is like. I don't mean the fact that you get up in the morning and your rheumatism hurts, and if you wiggle it around a little bit, it's okay. I go in to brush my teeth and I can't bend over the lavatory, because if I do, it sets all kinds of stuff up in my... So I have to walk around the bathroom brushing my teeth and then spit and hope it gets to where I'm going, because I... Can't bend over to get it out of my mouth. And, because if I do, I just kind of collapse in the whole midst of all of this. And yet I'm mobile. I'm able to move pretty well. And I hope I'm going to be able to get out and play some basketball this afternoon and warm the thing up and jerk it around a little bit. The more I move, the better off I am. My wife says, don't do that. But I said, I can't stop. I got to keep going. We're not taking a vote on whether I'm going to play basketball. my doctor is back there, and he said it's okay for me to play basketball as long as I don't put my elbow into his ribs when I. What I'm pointing out, the only thing I'm pointing out to you this morning, is that God has given you purpose for your pain. You've got it. It's yours. It's your heartache. It's your pain. It's your depression. It's your anxiety. The purpose, you say, what is the purpose? Well, God says the purpose is that you might be comforted by God, for one thing. That you might turn and look at Him, that you'll turn your eyes to Him. I discovered that one thing pain does is it makes me entirely selfish and self-centered. When I get up in the morning, and after I move around a little bit, I'm a little bit better off, but when I first get up in the morning and begin to move, it hurts. And I don't think about anything. I don't think about God. I don't think about my wife. I don't think about my job. I don't think about anything else. Telephone rings, let the thing ring. I don't care. All I am is totally self-centered until I get this thing kind of under control a little bit. Chronic pain makes you self-centered. It's the devil's tool to get your eyes off of God and onto yourself. And I realized this morning, I got up early this morning, walking down my driveway, and I said, Lord, I am not going to let this thing, I'm going to focus back in on God. He's the one who's going to heal me. He's the one who's going to comfort me. But He's not going to do it until the lessons have been learned on the inside, basically the lesson that God alone is my comfort. But at the same time, He's got something He wants me to do. What does He want me to do? He wants me to comfort others in the process. You've got pain, you got hardships, you got afflictions. God's purpose is that you might use those things to comfort others. Don't sit around waiting and say, as soon as I'm healed, I'll go bless somebody. You bless them out of your disease. You bless them out of your illness. You bless them out of your pain. You bless them out of your discomfort. And in the process of doing that, healing comes from God. Don't sit around waiting for something to fall on you. Go out and start your ministry. Keep your eyes open. The reason we're seated in this kind of configuration of this room is so that when we come together, you can see one another. Laura Watson told me, Laura's had chronic pain for quite a while now, that a couple of weeks ago she was here, and a man who is here in this room this morning came up to her after the service, a man that she does not have a lot of contact with, and said, God told me that I'm to touch you and I'm to pray for you. Healing comes through that kind of thing. Now that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a touching, healing body who are sensitive to the needs of other people who are here. And out of our pain, we will heal those who are in pain. That's what this whole wonderful passage is about. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. I got a telephone call this last week. A Baptist pastor in California. These calls come in usually once or twice, sometimes three times a week, from different people. This is a Southern Baptist pastor in California that my friend Jack Taylor had talked to. And he called me and he said, the doctors just diagnosed me with cancer of my kidney. And said it's spread through other organs of my body. And he said, I'm scared. And I said, friend, just be quiet. And let me talk to you for a few minutes. I've been there. I've been there. And all I have to do is to talk to you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to keep on praying for you. But my task right now is to comfort you in the same way I have been comforted by God and by others. Let me walk this through with you, so that you'll know that there's hope on the other end, that there's a God of miracles who is at work out there, who is still doing supernatural things, and you don't have to die. I don't care what news you've received, let me tell you that there's hope for you. And that's what I'm coming to tell you this morning. Out of your comfort, comfort others.